This is the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." This is the gospel of our Lord. So this would not have made sense in the context in which Jesus is speaking it. In this passage, shepherds might take great risks. It was in part David's familiarity with danger that gave him the courage to take on Goliath. But they don't intentionally die. That would leave the sheep without a shepherd. There's no logic to that. It doesn't make sense. But it does make sense in the context in which it was written. By the time John's gospel is written, at least two great scandals have occurred. Jesus, who the community who gathered around this gospel believed was divine and not just divine, held above all other gods of one being with the creator of the universe, this Jesus has been killed by the Roman authorities. God died. And at this point, the second temple has been destroyed. None of that made sense. The God of Abraham and Jacob is supposed to be all-powerful. Jesus, supposed to be the anointed one, Rome shouldn't have been able to just kill him. It's in this context that we get what Jesus is saying. We have to diverge from the literal metaphor of a shepherd's duties to see that he is making sense of his own death. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. Jesus was the good shepherd. His death, not a scandal of weakness, it was a sign of his strength. The temple that would fall some 40 years later, hired hands. And obviously that event would be handled differently by our Jewish neighbors, but this passage of Christian scripture is drawing a comparison between the actual shepherd and those the shepherd appointed to a task. So let's be clear. Hired hands are doing what they are told. There's no shame in it. They often take great pride in what they do. Many of us in our lives are hired hands, and a bit of the hired hand's identity is tied up in the skill and the dedication with which we ply our craft. There is no shame in being a hired hand, but it's not the same as being the true shepherd. See, in the modern context, if even your best worker quits, the business doesn't cease to exist. You find a way to go on without them. But it doesn't mean that the employer doesn't still highly value that employee that made getting the job done so much easier. The priests in the temple were performing rituals instituted by God. They did so with dedication, with piety, with reverence, and true concern for the people in their care. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord was celebrating Passover, a ritual that would have had more priests on duty in the temple than you could count, ritually preparing over 100,000 lambs in a week so that the people in all their faith, could observe God's perpetual ordinance. These were not inconsequential things. But in 70 AD, the people found themselves once again without a temple. And I don't know enough about Jewish thought to adequately represent the ways in which our neighbors have dealt with that reality. I'll leave that to them, but this distinction between the true shepherd and the hired hands was how followers of Jesus explained that we could be without a temple, but not without God. The church, the ecclesia, the gathering of saints was established very early on as a means of coping with the scandal of the loss of sacred institution, a fear in our modern days. Friends, we gather in our houses of faith to celebrate rituals that were instituted by our Lord. We do so with dedication, piety, reverence, and true concern for the people in our care. These are not inconsequential things. I hope in my congregations we mean it when we say that we empower those who gather to see the holy in themselves and in their neighbors. And I hope the lives we are inspired to lead from these gatherings give glory to God's name. What we do is not inconsequential. I hope our lives are so changed by it that we cannot help but invite others to participate. This is important work we do when we gather in community. But make no mistake, the institutional church, we are all hired hands. What we do is a means of grace, but it is not grace. This institution is a hired hand. I hope we take pride in our work. I hope we try to emulate the true shepherd. I hope what we do gives glory to the name of the shepherd that has appointed us to this task. But let's not mistake ourselves for the shepherd. This institution is not God. It's not even really the church. If our faith is in the trappings of an institution, we will be let down. Even the most dedicated of hired hands runs away when the wolf bares its teeth and begins to approach. But the true church, the ecclesia, the gathering of the saints, as it was so early on, is still capable now of coping with the loss of even a favorite hired hand, even a sacred institution. Because the true shepherd never tires of gathering the folds into his flock. The good shepherd does not run away when the hired hand does. The Lord does not abandon the church. That undying, unabandoned church is what we should be inviting others to participate in. The work of the institutional church is a means of inviting others to participate in the eternal church. The work of the institutional church should serve as a sign of God's love. I mean, even the casual things we do can do it. A festival held this past weekend, a meal shared together, even the heavy but briefer moments of grief that we share together, a good work that we do, but our faith is not in the work. And that should both comfort us as the shape of the institution changes to whatever it is that it is about to become, and it should embolden us to serve the Good Shepherd in whatever ways we are asked. And if we remember that we were hired for this work, should let us continue in this moment to find value, divinity, and purpose in what we're doing right now in the current shape of this institution. See, Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He lays down his life, not us. But as we gather together in communities of faith, we do the work to which we were appointed. And with this work, we invite others to be part of the flock over which the good shepherd watches, to be both sheep and the hired hand. May we see in that the holy that is in ourselves, the holy that is in our neighbors. And may our hired on efforts give glory to God's name.